and welcome to FamiCast 130, your FamiCast for the latter part of July 2018. I'm Danny Bivens, and today I'm joined by James Charlton.
We're going to do it again.
We are. It's a long time no see.
Yeah. Yes, exactly, Daniel.
Thank you.
That's James. Your name, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Good.
Yes, and also Ty Sugart.
It's-a-me. Me. How's it going, guys?
Good, good. Can't complain. Well, I guess we could complain about the heat or just say something like, "Atsui desu ne."
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's but, not that it matters. 30 people died yesterday.
Sorry, God.
Yeah, record heat in Japan right now. It's
we're
happening.
We're in a heat wave. And it's like, we record the FamiCast at nighttime. It's like, it's 9 o'clock at night. And it's still fucking like hotter than it is in your home country in the daytime, probably.
It's about 33 right now Celsius, so like
90. Unless you live in Abu Dhabi or something, but you know, most people listening don't live there.
Right. And if you do, well, good luck to you. Stay inside.
Yeah, it's currently 30 degrees at nighttime where I am. So yeah. Good luck to us all.
Yeah. Well, I got the AC blasting, so I'm good.
All right, God.
Yep.
Edith Nee.
Yeah. Cyrus, unfortunately, is unable to join us again. Just scheduling differences and stuff like that. So hopefully we can have him on the next, you know, regular episode. So
he's probably glad he's not in this heat wave.
Yeah, probably. I don't even know what type of temperatures they have in Ireland in the summer.
And it doesn't go over 20, I think.
Are you serious?
Probably.
Okay.
James, most Irish people melt at 21 degrees. Write in if I'm wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
No one's going to write in. That's proving me right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and kick off the show with some new business. Hi, would you mind kicking things off for us?
Okay. When we were talking behind the scenes earlier, I said I'd play like a weird NES game or something, but I didn't. I lied.
You played a weird SNES game instead.
No, I'm sorry. I was playing a game that came out last year on Xbox. But
world exclusive.
No, I was actually playing Friday the 13th, and
noted bad game. Good job.
Yeah, I've been complaining about it a lot on Twitter, but I'm starting to enjoy it. Like, I forced myself to play it because I wanted to get my money's worth, and it's a good concept for a game. Yeah, so at some point they added some single player content, and I was doing that too, and it's counting towards some of the really terribly designed grindy achievements.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, man. The achievements in that game are the fucking worst.
So, Ty, but what is this game?
It's Friday the 13th. I said it, right?
What? Case closed.
What do you do in this game, Ty?
Well,
please explain it.
Either you play as Jason and murder people, or you get murdered by Jason.
And this is all, like, played by real people online.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Is it, like, third person, first person, or...?
Yeah, it's like over the shoulder, kind of. Yeah, okay. That's what it is all the time, actually.
Okay.
So you get in a lobby with up to 8 players. Generally, a random person is Jason. And you can pick which Jason. You can be from like part 2 or part 3 or part 8 or part 6.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's like 8 or 10 different Jasons. I don't know.
Oh, X? The one in space?
No, they were planning on it, but due to a licensing snafu, they cannot add any more content to the game.
Great job.
Yeah, that one's actually out of the development team's hands. But I have plenty of other things, crimes I can pin on them.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it, man.
You know, I think I'm kind of going to repeat myself from a year ago, mostly. But let's see. It has that thing I hate, progression system.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You unlock perks by playing more. That's kind of annoying. But on the other hand, you know, the game is like 100% asymmetrical, so you're not really competing with your teammates so much. It's still really dumb and annoying, though. It shouldn't be a thing.
Like, what type of upgrades or what type of advantages could you have over other players in this particular game?
Well, okay, so you basically get like this in-game currency or experience points or whatever, and you use it to unlock a random perk. You get a random perk for like 500, and you can equip 3 on your shit-ass counselor.
Okay, so it's like loot boxes almost.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Oh, God. There's no way to pay for them. For better or worse.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure there isn't. I need to double check the store, but I think it's just like extra fun skins and stuff in the store. But so you can equip 3, and there's like one where it's like boost your experience gain. So like you have to like make a decision between gaining experience faster and being fully functional. And
So take me through like a typical like run of this game. Like, say you're Jason. Like,
okay, so
easy to kill people. You just like you can like teleport around like Jason does. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So match starts. It shows an opening cinematic. Jason like walks up and murders a counselor, and everybody scatters. And then there's a little text that says 5 minutes later, and everybody's scattered. And Jason's back in his murder shack with his mom's severed head.
His murder shack.
Yeah. Yeah, the murder shack is a pretty important piece of gameplay, actually. So it's in a random place around the camp.
Hmm.
And
does it say that on his post box, by the way? Murder shack?
No, it says Jason's cabin or something. No, he doesn't have a post box.
It'd be a bit embarrassing. The postman comes around and he's like, oh, sorry, no, this is Murder Shack 2. You want Murder Shack 1? That's Jason lives. It's like, oh, my bad. All
right. Right.
Stab him in the face.
So you start with the ability to teleport, and it like regenerates like every 30 seconds or so. It's basically like fast travel in like, you know, like an open world game.
Hmm.
So you can use that to pop up at really annoying places for counselors or safeguard stuff or just scout the area. Then as the match goes on, it opens up a couple more abilities. You get the, I forget what it's called, the murder vision.
Just attach murder to everything, that'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, the murder is really the fun part of the game, right? It absolutely delivers lots of murder. So you can use your murder vision. It's a cooldown just like the fast travel. It'll highlight nearby counselors and or buildings that have counselors in them.
Mm-hmm.
And certain different counselors have different like stealth ratings. So if they're not moving or they're crouching, they have a higher rating. They won't get highlighted until you're close enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can they kill you?
There's like one condition to kill Jason, and it's like an extremely hard trick shot that requires a lot of teamwork. So generally, no, they can hit you and maybe stun you for a little bit, but that's it.
Is this all like pretty, like the world itself, is it pretty open? Is this like corridors or?
There's like, it's like a wooded area with a bunch of little cabins and shacks in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does look like the movies, like the classic movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do the counselors win if they can't kill you? They just escape or something?
They have to escape, and there's a couple different ways to escape. Let's see. So method one is like repair a car. You have to find 3 components. You have to find a can of gasoline, a new battery, and the keys. And you have to drive out without Jason fucking smashing your car and pulling you out and peeling you like a banana.
Brilliant.
So that's wild. Another way is there's a boat. It works the same way. You find gas, propeller. I don't think you actually need a key. You can call the police. You have to find a new capacitor or some part for a phone box, hook it up, and get on the phone.
And then the cops just come around and arrest Jason. He's like, oh, you got me.
No, it basically means that counselors can run off the map at one of the roads where the police show up. And the police will shoot at Jason if he gets close, and they can stun him. Mm-hmm. So you can't follow the counselors out that way.
Hmm.
Let's see. They can also just play and survive for 20 minutes, which is extremely unlikely. Or, yeah, the kill Jason trick shot. All right.
Have you done it?
No, I haven't. I've seen it done on YouTube, I guess. But the way it works is you have to do a bunch of different shit. You have to have a female counselor find Jason's murder shack, mm-hmm. and steal his mom's sweater. Right. So like she can find that, go find Jason, and that'll like stun him. It'll confuse him.
because he thinks it's his mom.
Yeah. The counselors have to hit Jason enough to knock his hockey mask off. Or, you know, his potato sack if you're playing part two Jason. It's mm-hmm. my favorite, actually.
Classic, yeah.
Yeah. And you have to have the Tommy Jarvis counselor come in. He's like a super counselor. Or person, hero, whatever. You have to find the radio and call him, and a player that is already dead or escaped mm-hmm. comes back as Tommy. And Tommy has to find a machete and deliver a finishing blow to Jason.
Wow.
So you have to do all that shit.
That's super complicated. Yeah, that'd be quite a feat to pull off, I can imagine.
And he would have got away with it if it wasn't for those meddling counselors.
Yeah. So it is fun to kill Jason, and it's rare that Jason does not kill like 3/4 of the counselors at least.
Hmm. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you enjoy being Jason the most, Ty.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to give people free hugs. Okay, so one thing you can do is, you know, you spend your in-game currency on, you know, counselor perks, or you can spend it on different kill animations for Jason, which have little to no gameplay effect at all, which is fun. There's an achievement for getting all those, so I'm kind of working on that. Oh, yeah. So at some point, I don't know how I got it, either by pre-ordering or just owning the game, but you can get a retro 8-bit skin for Jason.
Whoa. Oh, the NES sprite?
Yes. Where wow. He's all purple with the kind of bluish mask.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the blue gloves. Yeah, the last game I played, I just did that. Actually, I heard it plays the 8-bit music when he gets close to you, but I haven't played against a Jason that has it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the deal is.
So you said that this game is also kind of like broken or something too? Like
Yeah, it crashes a lot.
Oh.
Or it did. I think it was actually a very specific bug related to me leaving my fight stick plugged in another port.
yes, the classic. I'm sure lots of people having that problem.
Yeah, there's some visual bugs. I'm going to post one of the funniest ones I've ever seen in my entire life on Twitter in a little bit here.
Hmm.
Holy shit. I still don't like the way...
You pay actual money for this?
What, the game?
Did you pay actual money for this game?
Yeah, I bought it on launch. I actually pre-ordered it, I think.
Wow. How much?
I think it was $40.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The way you're describing it sounds pretty much like a, you know, $10, $15 download game. Not like a retail kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff in the game does seem really amateur hour. But they did add a fair amount of post-launch content.
Right.
A little bit, at least. And then it was all free.
Okay. Yeah, but, from everything you're saying, it sounds kind of like a multiplayer Slender Man type of a thing.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's another game, Dead by Daylight? Or what's it called? Yeah, I think it's Dead by Daylight. It's basically the same concept, except way better.
Okay.
Is it the license that makes it better, or is the game itself better?
Yeah, the gameplay mechanics of Dead by Daylight are way better, and the way it handles netplay and stuff. Okay, so like one thing in Friday the 13th that could stand to be improved. If you play as a counselor and you get murdered in like the first minute, you still have to wait until the game ends to get your experience.
Oh, shit.
Whereas in Dead by Daylight, like you can just like fuck off out of your game, and you get your points and get in another match right away.
Yeah, like Fortnite.
Yeah.
Gotta do.
Yeah, and I think that kind of balances the people who want to play the monster versus the people who want to play the survivors. It's like in Friday the 13th, it's kind of hard to get the Jason slot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You said it's random, though, so like...
Yeah, you can set a preference, though. Like, you prefer counselor or Jason or no preference. So it'll prioritize people who have preference Jason. So, like, I'm getting it, like, probably a third of the time, maybe.
Okay.
Whereas in Dead by Daylight, you could just, like, just play the monster only and, like, not have to wait even.
Are there still quite a few people playing Friday the 13th?
Yeah, I've had no problem finding matches. Okay. Like, earlier this month, there was a Friday the 13th. Kotaku ran an article about it and the status of the game and stuff. And I think that maybe attracted some people back to it. I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm going to dust that game off and rack up some achievements. Because I want to murder guys.
All right. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
In
it's
July.
Like Christmas in July.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Is that all you've been playing, Ty?
Well,
I know you're probably training for some kind of, you know, tournament or something, but...
Yeah.
What?
Not right this minute, actually. One of my friends got into Killer Instinct, and I was playing some matches with him.
Oh, okay.
Showing him some of the technology. Yeah, there's a big sale right now. You can get it for $10. Xbox Live Gold is on sale too.
Does it run on Mac?
No.
Does it
runs on Windows?
Does it run on Switch?
No.
Okay.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's all I have, really.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, I'll go ahead and go next with new business. So I've been doing a couple of different things. I picked up Captain Toad. I had mentioned that on the last episode of the show. I've been having a lot of fun with that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the now playing at thefamicast.com. But of course, you know, on the same day, another little game came out that I think many of you out there are familiar with, and that is Octopath Traveler. James, I know you've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, the demo.
Demo a lot. Yeah, I liked the demo. Well, yeah. The first demo. I actually didn't play the second demo. I said I was going to. I played like maybe 15, 20 minutes of one character and then didn't go back to it.
Okay. Do you remember which character that was?
I think it was Cyrus.
Okay. Okay.
Is Cyrus a thief?
I'm trying to remember. Because, I mean, I mean,
obviously the real guy Cyrus is, but I just mean the character also.
Yeah, also the non-family cast member, the guy in the game.
I can't remember. But anyway, yeah, I mean... I got so much out. I played the first demo for like 4 hours. It actually showed up on my fucking, you know, profile.
Yeah.
You know, most demos that you play say, played a little while.
Right.
You know, like pretty much every demo I've ever played, even some full retail games, I've said, played for a little while.
Right.
But then Octopath Traveler literally came up with an hour count. I was like, shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that one. But then when I played the second demo, I was like, well, I've kind of done all of this, you know, it's like slightly different town, slightly different stuff, but you know,
sure.
I don't know. I didn't feel really compelled to push on. Yeah.
You see, I'm like the opposite because I didn't play either demo, even though I had both of them downloaded. And yeah, then I was just like, you know, this sounds like it's a game that I'm really gonna like. I'm just gonna buy it. So I bought it the same day that, you know, I got Captain Toad. And I didn't get to play it really until today, this afternoon. I was just kind of trying to give myself like a good chunk of time so I can sit down and like really get into it, you know? And yeah, I gave myself that. I was probably playing for about 2 hours or something like that today. I started out with the warrior knight guy, Oberyn, I think. Oberyn?
Ulbrich?
Ulbrich, yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy I put the most time into in the demo.
Yeah. And that's I always like that type of a character in an RPG, you know, strong type of guy that can just kick a lot of ass. I don't really care so much for like magic users or thieves and stuff like that. So this is my guy. So I had gotten through like the first story thing with him. And I got to say, I mean, obviously the visuals in this game are freaking fantastic. It's such a cool mix of old school with new school, like lighting and stuff like that. That's just, you know, top notch and just amazing.
Apparently you can turn off shadows and the game becomes a little bit brighter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I saw like somebody did a kind of comparison screenshot. And you still get like the nice depth of field and everything else, but it's just a little bit brighter. I always thought it did look very dark in screenshots and stuff.
I did kind of notice that in like some areas, especially like I think a cave that I was in.
Yeah,
I was thinking like, okay, it's a little dark in here. I mean, it's a cave, so whatever. That's kind of what I thought. But okay, yeah. I'll try to monkey around with some settings and see.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they let you do that. You know, obviously.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe some, you know, contrast settings on some TVs. Maybe it would just be too dark. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, give it a shot. See what you think.
Yeah. Well, you know, I also really enjoyed the music that I've heard so far. I mean, it's fantastic, and you wouldn't really expect anything less from Square Enix with this type of a game, or maybe you would with the game that's supposed to be kind of like, you know, 16-bit-ish type of a thing. But I mean, yeah, music's top notch. You know, voice acting in English and Japanese. Not the whole game isn't voiced, but like a lot of key story points are, though. So
yeah, the cutscenes, the important cutscenes are, and then after that it's just they say like the first couple of words of each sentence or something, right?
I've been really enjoying it. I really like the battle system a lot, and James, you mentioned this too, it maybe you did, that it mm-hmm. does seem very similar to like Bravely Default thing.
Right.
You know, with kind of like the Brave and the Default. More
again, I didn't play, but somehow I know that it is similar to that.
Yeah, I probably talked about it so much on the show back in the day. I have a couple of different copies of it. So, yeah.
So two things I'm hearing on Twitter about this game. First one is it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's harder than most like modern RPGs. And so people are complaining, you know, like the bosses, for example, you have to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you're just going to get wrecked. That's definitely true from the demo that I played. It was definitely true. I was like, had to level up a lot before I could beat that guy. And the other one is one of the characters speaks in old English. And some people, you know, non-native speakers of English, you know, maybe countries that it doesn't have that language support.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe, you know, other non-native speakers like, you know, America, having trouble understanding old English, which I think is funny. I mean, British people, it's like, you know, ain't no thing. That's how we speak.
Every day.
But, you know, people who haven't studied Shakespeare, for example, you know, they'll be completely lost.
Who?
Who? I heard a couple of interesting things about Octopath Traveler.
He was a wrestler in the 90s.
I heard there's a squirrel enemy in Octopath Traveler that has an attack called These Nuts. Can you confirm or deny?
I've only played for 2 hours, so...
Did you say bees or D's?
These.
Oh, These Nuts. Oh, okay.
These Nuts.
Thou Nuts. Thou Nuts are roasted, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah. I also heard... I saw an amazingly funny Twitter video about this. Okay, so there's like the dancer girl character. Mm-hmm. She has some move that creates like a random effect in the battle, right? Does this sound familiar to you guys?
I just allure
people. Allure is her special.
All right, maybe I'm thinking of a different character, but there's some sort of random thing you can do. You activate it, and one of the things it can randomly do is give you like 200 times experience or something.
Sign me up.
Yeah, this dude like went up like 30 levels in like 6 minutes.
Wow.
So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. Before they patch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, get in there. I'm looking for the video again. I'm not sure I can find it, but it was one of the funniest things I'd seen in days.
Yeah.
Well, Bravely Default, I don't think you ever talked about this, Danny, but I heard other people maybe on RFN talking about, you know, how you could build up certain moves to be, or you could like, oh, was it like, get other characters to perform a move for you, but then you could like store up something so they could basically have like a one hit kill for all the bosses. Got to a point where you could do that.
I didn't waste my time trying to do something like that. Yeah. I could, you know,
you could like call in another character, but if they had certain kind of, you know, buffs or something, they could just like one hit kill every boss in the game, which is kind of ridiculous. So what I'm trying to say is that this series or this kind of style of game has had a background of, you know, moves that can be completely, you know, corrupted and used beyond what they should be, you know, like not really a bug, but more like a, what would you call it? A feature.
Yeah.
You can fuck around with stuff.
Yeah, a bug that's kind of become a feature or something. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Broken, but in a good way.
Yeah, I could see something like that possibly coming up, you know, with this game too. If people haven't figured it out already, maybe they're just doing it right now as we speak.
Right.
Yeah, but one thing I think it's that should be noted, because I hear a lot of podcasts and other places saying that this is the Bravely Default team, and apparently it's not like the team per se. I think a couple of people, like maybe the producers or one of the directors or something, were involved with Bravely Default.
And they share a bathroom.
Basically, it is what you could say, right? So, I mean, there's you know, a background in it, and you could see with some of like the, especially, you know, with the battle system and stuff, you can see very close similarities there. And I think that's great. I really like that battle system. I think it's fun. You really got to be strategic and how you decide to pull off your moves. Cause like, you know, like you said, if you're really not watching what you're doing, a boss can just take you out in just a matter of a couple of hits if you're just not watching your health and stuff. So,
absolutely. Yeah, that's cool, but how you can kind of like reveal their weakness. You know, if you hit them with the right thing, then it'll sometimes start off as a question mark. Mm-hmm. And then if you use the right weapon, then you'll have found it, you know?
Right.
Whether it's spear or sword or whatever it is, right?
Right. And if it's a regular common enemy, then anytime you come across them later on in the game too, that's, you know, just so you don't forget.
So you're enjoying it so far?
Yeah, I am. I think it's pretty fun. I kind of had to pull myself away from it because I had a bunch of crap to do this late in the afternoon and stuff. But I'm really enjoying it and hoping to dive a little bit deeper into it this over the summer break for me.
So you put more time into that than Toad?
No, I've put a lot of time into Toad. Actually, nice. I've played the crap out of that. Probably at least somewhere between 5 to 10 hours. I can't really pinpoint it exactly because I haven't had it for 10 days yet. So
classic. Only Switch owners will laugh at that joke.
Yeah. So that's kind of annoying. But yeah, I'm going to keep on going at it. And yeah, like I said, I've been playing a lot of Captain Toad. That's a lot of fun. We'll talk about some of the content we have for that here in a little bit. But that's going to do it for me for new business. So, James, why don't you talk about what you've been playing?
Well, just before we go on, did you play any of the Odyssey levels yet?
No, I haven't, because
is that something you have to unlock, like by beating the game? Or
yeah, so the way that worked in the original Wii U version, if you had saved data for Super Mario 3D World, it's just available from the get-go.
Right.
This way, the only way you can access it is if you beat, I think, all of the, there's like two books, one with like Toad and Toadette. I think you have to beat both of those, and then you can have access to that. And then you have like another access to another book full of levels with more stuff to do. Or if you have a Super Mario Odyssey amiibo, then you can tap that and you can have access to that. I don't have any of the Odyssey amiibos, so I haven't got to try it out yet.
Right on. So what I heard was that the Odyssey stuff was not, it's on like three stages or something like that. I mean, they're quite big stages, but three?
Sure. I mean, they just swapped out. I mean, the same with the Super Mario 3D World stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, but they got rid of the 3D World levels.
Right.
I couldn't believe that. Why would you remove content if you'd like having a remake?
Unless they were worried about people saying, what the hell is this game, this Mario game? Why can't I play this on the Switch? Maybe they're worried about something like that. I really don't know. But yeah, it does seem kind of silly to remove content as opposed to just simply add, you know?
Yep. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate coming soon.
Yes.
By then. So as for me, well, I guess the stuff I've been playing, it's more like stuff that we're going to talk about in now playing, but like played Fortnite for a stream. Mm-hmm. Played a little bit before the stream as well. So I've played a good bunch of levels by now. Seventh is still my highest in the solo. But I'm getting the hang of it, and I'm beginning to kind of like the game now. It was kind of completely baffled me at first. Mm-hmm. You know, just being thrown in with no tutorials, nothing to tell you what to do whatsoever. Just like, you know, have at it kind of thing. But I watched a couple of YouTube, you know, streams of it, you know, by pros, and it's like, oh, okay, that's how people win.
Not to mention my excellent coaching.
There you go. More on that later. This could be kind of like a news item / new business, but NCL, Nintendo Japan, they're having a summer sale on a lot of big kind of retail games here. Mm-hmm. And I believe they're the only reason to be doing this at the moment, but I could see other reasons doing it later. But they had a bunch of, I think it was maybe ARMS, maybe Splatoon as well, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like 30% off. And these, like, you know, big games like that. And if you remember, like, I refused to buy Mario Kart 8 Deluxe up to this point because, like, I have it on Wii U and Nintendo didn't give me a voucher to have, you know, some money off it. But yeah, this discount did it. I was like, well, fuck, 30% off. It's never going to be cheaper than whatever it was, 4,000 something yen, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got that, and I've only played, you know, a few minutes of it, but it's good to that. Absolutely now no reason to go and play my Wii U now. well, no, there's still Mario Maker, but the reasons for opening my Wii U just got, you know, notched down, because, you know, I do actually go back and play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with my son from time to time. He likes it. Mm-hmm. He likes the, you know, the steering wheel and all that. Oh shit, I don't have a steering wheel for the Switch. Fuck, I'm not going to buy one of those.
Nintendo Labo, dude. There you go.
$80 steering wheel.
But it's for a motorcycle.
For a motorbike, which neither of us use. Yeah, we won't be doing that. So yeah, that's kind of like a news item, because, you know, the sale is, you know. Are we talking about that sale in news?
I think I was just going to mention it anyways.
Okay, okay. Done.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Check that box. Mm-hmm. And then I played Super Chariot. I streamed that. So yeah, I'll probably mention that briefly again in now playing. But yeah, Super Chariot is a game that was on, there's a demo on the eShop now. It was on the Wii U. And I think I remember Guillaume on RFN mentioning that he really liked it. It's a really good co-op game, couch co-op game. So basically, you have this little, and you have to pull this chariot, which has got the spirit of a king in it. with me. It makes sense when you, well, not really, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
Wait, the whole chariot? Point is,
yeah, chariot.
I've played this game.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cute. It's very cute little characters, and basically you can like attach this rope to a chariot and pull it, and so you're jumping around like, you know, typical platformer style. So you can jump high up, and then almost like Spider-Man style, you can actually just hit one of the trigger buttons and just whoosh, and just like whips out like a rope, and then you can like press L and you can kind of like pull the rope up. So basically you got to drag this chariot throughout all these stages, and it's kind of like, you know, puzzle based platformer, I guess. But wasn't it's very very fluid, and the controls are good, and yeah, and it looks nice.
Wasn't this game it was funded by the government of like some North European country?
What?
Does that sound familiar to you?
No.
Not Canada.
What country developed this game?
Yes. So
it's just something I remember the back of my head, like somebody got like a big monetary grant to develop this game to promote entertainment software in a country that doesn't make a lot of it.
Yugoslavia.
Yeah. Wait, didn't they make Serious Sam?
Seriously? Anyway, Super Chariot.
I'm not sure, Danny. I'm not sure.
So these levels, it actually reminds me a lot of Yoshi's Island. Bear with me. These levels are kind of very wide open. They've got lots of stage like levels to them, like upper, lower, middle. And you know, you can fall down, but you can just take the lower path if you want. You know, Yoshi's Island, a lot of levels in Yoshi's Island were like that, and you can find secrets and stuff like that. You know, picking up gems. And there's also places where you kind of need two people. Like there's a little sign where it says like, you know, it's got like two human characters that, and they're like an arrow pointing this way. So it's like, I guess there are parts that you can only access if you've got two human players controlling.
Okay.
So, I don't know what moves that would unlock, but and also they got like multiple exits as well, and if you find them, then you can actually then start the level from there. So if you find like all the exits and entrances, then you can, you know, start in different places when you replay the level to like, you know, get more gems or find more secrets and stuff like that. So there's a lot of depth to the stages, and yeah, I just like the feel of it. It's like it just feels good. Like platforming feels good. And like, you would think it'd be annoying, you know, dragging an unplayable character around with you, you know, which is another Yoshi's Island similarity, you know, like you've always got this thing that you have to protect or drag with you everywhere. And if it dies, then, you know, you restart kind of thing. But, yeah. It's not annoying at all. It feels good. So, yeah, definitely check it out. They've got three stages in the demo. So yeah, definitely worth checking out.
All right. I had the wrong region, but I had the right concept. It is developed in Canada, and it was funded in part by the Canada Media Fund, public/private partnership. Yeah.
So, hey, I'm not your buddy, guy.
Yeah, government-funded video game.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Canada. Good job.
It's probably way better than America's Army.
Probably. I currently, right now, actually, there's a Splatfest running, the global Splatfest, Octolings versus Inklings.
Oh man, I totally forgot to even sign up.
Well, Danny, you've got 30 minutes to do that before it ends. So yeah, I played a bit of that. I chose Inkling because I thought that would help me get more matches, because pretty much, I think, I'm kind of confident that 90% of the people are going to choose Octolings because they want to try out the Octoling character.
Yeah.
But we'll see how we go. And because I'm recording this podcast, I can't get, to King tier because I'm recording this podcast. Otherwise, I would be playing Splatoon right now.
Well, haven't you been playing for like the past, you know, at least 22 hours or something?
I have lots of other things to do, Danny. That's
what. Like what?
Talk to the wife, she'll understand, she'll tell you.
Okay.
Have I been playing anything else? I think that's it. I played a bit of the Tumblestone demo. That was boring. It's just like a simple kind of like match three puzzle kind of puzzle game kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Played a bit more Celeste, played a bit more Owlboy. Both good games. Mm-hmm. All good games. I've got like all these games that I really want to play, like all simultaneously. It's like I've got like two online games that I really want to play, Fortnite and Splatoon 2. Mm-hmm. And I've got like two like beautiful indie platformer games like Celeste and Owlboy. And it's like I want to play them all the time, but you know, I have limited time to play games, and it sucks.
Yeah.
But they're all good games, and they're all worthy of my time, and I will try my best to put time into all of them. So, yep. It feels like we only just did the last podcast. It's weird.
Yeah.
How long has it been?
We're about a couple days earlier. We usually do podcasts on Tuesday nights.
Right.
We're recording a little bit earlier this week because we got some other Patreon stuff to do later on, and then just schedules and stuff like that too. So,
yeah, a little bit earlier today. So, yeah, that's all from me.
Okay, cool. Well, next, let's go ahead and move on to Now Playing at thefamicast.com. Now playing at thefamicast.com. Tons and tons of stuff going up on the YouTube, tons of stuff going up on the site. For me, like I was kind of mentioning earlier in new business, we have a couple of Captain Toad videos for you to check out. One being a review for the game that you can check out right now. Reviewing the game. You should definitely check it out if you haven't already. Another thing that I went ahead and did too, I did a graphics comparison video between the Wii U version and the Switch version. Looking at it from the outside, you might think like, there's not that much of a difference. And
so all about the peas, Danny.
Yeah, exactly. So check out the video. You'll see what I'm talking about. And I also put together a video. I talked about this on the last show, I believe, for Spirit Sphere DX. That's up right now, and you can watch it. So, James, what else we got?
I kind of already mentioned it. But, you can watch me play a level of Super Chariot. That's already up there. The patrons have already seen it. The rest of you guys will have to wait until Famicast Friday. When would that be?
The 27th.
So, yeah, there you go. July 27th. So look forward to that. And there's also a stream of me playing in the Splatfest, the Octoling Inkling Splatfest. So yeah, again, that'll be on Famicast Friday 27th. Or if you're a patron, right now. I think that's it.
Well, and Ty, can you talk a little bit about what we were doing last night?
Oh yeah, we were playing some Fortnite with our beloved sugar daddy,
Joel.
Joel, that's right, Joel. Nobody is good at that game except for me.
Confirmed. Yes.
I'm not even good, but I
certainly... And Ty's not good, so that shows how shit we are.
Yeah. But we killed some people. We had a good time. We all learned some valuable things, I think.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So welcome to shooting guys on a squad.
Yeah.
Welcome to the real world. You're gonna learn today.
Yes.
So in case that wasn't clear, that's the July exclusive video. Patreon exclusive video, Fortnite stream of all four actually. Yeah, Cyrus is there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you miss Cyrus, join our Patreon. $3 or more and you get to watch it. Mm-hmm. Every month we have an exclusive stream of a game chosen by our patrons. They choose what game they want to play with us. We play with them. We capture it and then we upload it. We edit it together and put it on the YouTube channel just for the patrons to watch. So yeah, check it out. If you want to play a game with us, it's a $10 tier. If you just want to watch, $3 is all it takes. And it's yours.
Wow, you can play a game with me for $10? That's a steal.
Yeah, we're even more generous than that. If you actually accumulate $10, we'll even let you give it a shot. Once we've got through all the proper $10 people, we'll actually throw it to the people who've accumulated $10 as well. That's how generous we are.
So, wow.
Yeah. All of this and more. Danny, right? Is there anything else?
That's it. Yeah, take it away.
You've got written stuff, haven't you, Danny?
What's that?
You've said the written review stuff as well. That's on the site.
Oh, yeah. That the written stuff's already on the site too, so you can check that out for pretty much all of that stuff. And more stuff going up all the time. So, yeah, keep it locked. Where?
TheFamicast.com.
There it is.
Click it. Need a bunch of words.
There it is.
I won't. I never learned how to read.
All right. And next, what's the next segment we got here, James?
It's coming in hot. It's the Japanese.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Super hot. Japanese today.
Hot news. Super hot. Super hot.
That's right.
Speaking of super hot.
The death count's about to reach 33 in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Aside from the death count, have you been wanting to play a rhythm game on your Switch?
No.
Yes. Okay, no.
I played Galmetal at TGS like last year.
Well, this is the game putting the, you know, the nail in the coffin on Galmetal. Sorry, Tuck. Friend of the show. Best friend of the show.
Yeah, good man. Rest in peace.
Yeah, if you didn't know, a new Taiko no Tatsujin or a Taiko Drum Master game is coming to the Nintendo Switch, and right now you can download a free demo for the game if you have a Japanese My Nintendo account. So if that's something you're interested in, you should definitely check it out. It's, you know, Taiko Drum Master, always fun.
More exciting, aren't they going to patch in English soon? Like later this year?
Were they?
Oh, is that not part of the news? Yeah, that was a big deal. They actually announced like the Japanese part of the who makes these games? Is it Bandai Namco?
Yeah.
They actually announced that they were going to make a patch to patch in English. Hmm. So I don't know. Yeah, so that would assume that they were going to make an English version as well.
That's you would assume, because otherwise that'd just be stupid.
But even if you download the Japanese one, that will also be in that one as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a good time. I mean, if you don't understand any Japanese, but you're interested in, just fumble through it, and then later on this year, English will be patched in.
Yeah,
and the official. Yeah,
yeah. These games aren't that hard to get into a song, I don't think, even if you know little to no Japanese. So
right,
yeah, give it a shot.
What do you need to know? You hit the drums and you play it.
Yeah, basically, you scroll through songs. If something sounds cool, then probably double smash the drums. I don't know.
Well, this is the Japanese version, so the songs that sounding cool are quite limited. Few and far between.
If a song sounds like something that you want to play, sorry, I misspoke.
Yeah, just skip through the whole J-pop section. Just go to, you know, whatever game music or whatever. I'm sure they've got Splatoon and Odyssey music in this one, right?
That's coming out here really soon. I think maybe next week or the end of this week, sometime very soon. I just saw that on JapaneseNintendo.com, one of the providers of our news. I saw that on his site earlier today. So,
old Bri, he was on the show last week.
Exactly.
Last episode. So, are they doing a drum controller for this?
I haven't seen anything.
Because there was one for the Wii U, which I'm assuming was USB. So, because the original Wii one actually plug it into a Wii remote, which is stupid.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're making a USB one. You would assume, right?
Yeah, you would assume. I haven't looked into it too deeply, so sorry I failed gathering that.
For the meantime, it's probably just touchscreen and whatever.
Touchscreen or, you know, motion with the Joy-Con is how it goes.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually had that in the commercials, didn't they, actually?
Yeah.
Using the Joy-Cons. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, rest in peace, Galmetal. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't just a joke. That's literally exactly like Galmetal, isn't it?
Yeah. Something I'd mentioned on the last show, but when I was going through and editing the audio version, I had noticed that I had cut out as I was like talking about it. And I was talking about a new Family Stadium, a new Famista baseball game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's on posters now in Tokyo.
Yeah.
They've got like games for summer.
Yes.
Got, you know, the usual suspects, Splatoon 2, Mario Kart, but then they've also got Famista and Evolution. Something else.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but one of the cool things about that game, yes, okay, you're probably thinking, oh, fucking baseball, Danny, shut up already. I get it. But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this is Bandai Namco too, I believe, and they seem like they're putting in a little bit more effort into their game, because not only can you actually play baseball with like access to all sorts of like different leagues for like a base, like Japan Pro Baseball, like softball, all these other groups of baseball and softball teams I've never even heard about. But not only that, I mean, they have different modes of control. You can do motion if you want to. You can do standard controls. They also have like a somewhat of an RPG mode inside of this too, where it looks a lot kind of like a, you know, old, like somewhere across between like an 8-bit and 16-bit RPG,
Oh, really?
like a
Interesting.
baseball-based RPG type of thing.
Hey, finally someone's doing it. I mean, someone's got to fucking do it. Nintendo, Jesus Christ.
And then at the same time, there's like I think it's if you can play this mode vertically on the Switch, kind of like one of those old baseball tabletop games where just like flicking a little ball trying to hit home runs. You can like
Oh,
do
that's
that.
like the shitty smartphone versions, I guess.
Basically, but it's
Trying
just, you know,
to make everyone happy.
And also they're releasing a 2018 version of like a Famicom version of the Famistar game that's going to be available for free to people that purchase this game, which
That's
that's
just a download, right?
just a download. And it's that particular game is listed on Nintendo's on NCL's website right now on their schedule, but if you click it, it just says like this page doesn't exist. So I don't know if
Brilliant.
that means like,
Classic Japan, that.
it's like I don't know if that just means if they put the page up because it's going to be available for sale individually, or if they just did that because they had to, because it's something that's going to be a listing on the eShop, you know? I don't know.
Another thing Japan is famous for is like having a QR code that doesn't work. That's so Japan, isn't it? Or you can't access, you need to access this from a, you know, from a flip phone. Doesn't work from a smartphone.
Can't wait. But you know, with this new Famistar game, Famistar game, I'm gonna try to. I'm planning on buying it because I think it looks kind of fun. So maybe I'll report back on that
Well, good
on
luck
the
to
next episode of the show. So,
you. Good luck to you.
yes, thank you so much. Ty, would you mind talking about this next little bit of news here on the list?
The Sega Ages titles?
Yes.
Yeah, they're gonna be on Switch starting in August. That's real soon. We got original Sonic the Hedgehog and Thunder Force 4. I hope you like paying $10 for ROMs because they're gonna be 999 yen.
9.99.99.
Yeah. Are you guys any of you guys familiar with Thunder Force at all?
The helicopter game?
Shooter, like
Yeah.
over the top shooter, I think.
Yeah, I've played a couple. It's like a side-scrolling shooter.
Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Does Sega make any good 16-bit games?
Sonic 2 is a great 16-bit game. Sonic 1 is
Can anyone
okay.
think of a single 16-bit game Sega's made that's good? No? Seriously? Huh. Interesting. I mean, all I think their 3D games are good. Like,
Rystar.
so yeah, I guess the answer is no to my
God
question.
damn, Golden Axe.
Golden Axe is fun. I like Golden Axe.
Streets of Rage.
Altered Beast, not so
Okay.
much.
Streets of Rage, there we had it. Yeah, I like Streets of Rage. But you know, it's just a poor man's Final Fight, but whatever.
Oh, okay. I'll give you that.
We've just dug a even deeper hole, but never mind. Next.
Yeah. James, would you mind taking this next part of news?
What? Oh, Zero Drifter is seeing a release in Japan.
Yeah.
Wait, it wasn't already?
No. No, it
Oh,
wasn't.
so I must have bought it from the European one. Okay. Thanks to our friends at Fly High Works. It'll be 500 yen coming out in 4 days from this podcast, July 26. You can preload it now, and Japanese and English is supported. So I guess Jules Watson got on his game, got someone to translate the game. I mean, the game's only got like four words in, so it doesn't take that long
Sure.
to localize the game.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, Fly High Works, they handle a lot of these basically the game the these indie games
Yeah.
from the West coming over. It seems like more recently that the indies themselves are finding other
Yeah.
avenues to do it themselves, but Fly High Works was pretty much responsible for doing a lot of that stuff on 3DS and Wii U back in the day.
Yeah, it's good times. And it's good that they're keeping it at like the $5 mark. They're not like having a Japan tax, you know. So it's probably less popular in Japan than the West, so it would make sense to not do that.
It seems like, especially with all the indie stuff that's been coming out over the past year, like there's a parity with the price. Like things are pretty much the same. I don't have any good examples off the top of my head of something that's just
But
ridiculously expensive here.
there are sometimes sales in other countries that don't exist in others. Like, Doom got like reduced to like whatever, $35 in other ones, but it was still like, 7,000 yen in
Yeah.
Japan.
It was weird. Yeah, when that happened though, James, that was weird because Doom came out like 5 months later here, and when the sales were going on in the West, like it had just came out.
I'm sure the same thing will happen with Wolfenstein as well.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein will get a really a reduction just as Japan gets the game,
Yeah.
for the first time.
Yeah, Wolfenstein's coming out in about 6 days too.
And the in well the other way around, like me buying Mario Kart for 30% off, that's not in the other regions yet. Not yet anyway. So yeah. See you, Drifter. It's a good game. It's very short. Very short. And just when it starts to pick up pace, and you're really getting into it, it ends. But it's a good game, and it's definitely worth $5. I mean, Jesus Christ. But when are we talking to a Japanese audience here now?
Yes.
People who only buy Japanese, from the Japanese eShop.
I
Basically,
think
it's
it's
just
just
me talking to Danny at this point, isn't
yeah,
it?
at this point, pretty much, yeah.
I mean,
And
Cyrus has
maybe
already gone to Mexico for his account, hasn't he?
yeah. And but maybe Brian,
Yeah,
Japanese
it's like
Nintendo.
me, Danny and Brian are the only three people who buy, we're the Western people who buy from the Japanese eShop.
Right.
So yeah, good luck to us all.
Yes. Another bit of Japanese related stuff. I think this has already happened in the West, but the Made in Wario Gorgeous
Warrior.
trial version is available on the 3DS eShop now. The game's coming out on well, not too terribly long from right now, and it's available for pre-order and all that type of stuff. I
Interesting.
wasn't sure.
I was in the game shop today and I saw a lot of posters and, fake boxes for this game. And also for this game, I don't know if I've actually, for the first time in a long time, I've actually changed the poster that's behind me. I'm sitting behind a Smash Brothers Special, aka Smash Brothers Ultimate poster. That's actually it's the same poster twice. I just kind of reversed it and stuck it together. It's got like the beautiful artwork on this side, and the bottom it's got the full roster. Well, the roster that we know so far anyway. All your favorites are back. Pichu. So yeah, basically it was at the game shop, it was that and Made in Wario Gorgeous everywhere. So those are the two games that again the biggest push right now anyway. In terms of games that are not out yet,
Right. James, I saw something interesting when I went to 7-Eleven today, Nintendo related. So Famitsu occasionally just put out, they had this catalog, and it was a catalog listing of every Nintendo 3DS game that had ever been released, with a few exceptions, like no virtual console stuff, or stuff that had just been like remastered, or not like for example, Bravely Default. They didn't have like the original release in there. But anyways, my point with this is they're selling this catalog, but it's not really they're not really selling it. If you put down like 1,000 yen, you get this book, and it's basically because 3DS has this big gigantic sale going on right now, and it's just basically trying to show you all the titles that are on sale. And it comes with like a 1,000 yen like prepaid card just stamped on the back of this book. So I just picked it up because I was like, okay, just a book. So yeah.
What's the matter with you, man? You're buying anyway, start buying 3DS games again? Don't think so.
Doesn't matter. It's just, you get 1,000 yen credit. You could use it on anything you want.
Where is it?
Downstairs. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Good guy.
I do have this one though, the
I'm
Famitsu
into 64.
64, yeah,
Yeah.
special 1999 edition. Anyways, moving on
Cool.
with the news. This next one actually is for Ty.
Of
Ty, would you
course it
mind
is.
talking about this?
Yes.
Okay.
Evo Japan 2019. It's going to be in Fukuoka.
What?
What? Yes, Fukuoka, Japan, a city that is not Tokyo and is not Osaka.
And it's not accessible by train.
Yeah. So a lot of people are real surprised that it's going to be there. But if I know my geography, it's kind of right in between like Tokyo and Osaka, right?
I think so.
Sure.
Yeah. So if you're coming in for out of country, you're going to probably need some help getting there and finding accommodations. So good luck with that.
I'm sure there's a flight from like Haneda to Fukuoka, right?
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Or Haneda is the airport in Tokyo, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Yep.
The airport that they call Tokyo Airport is in Chiba.
Yeah.
The one that's called Narita Airport is nowhere near Tokyo.
Yeah, that's more like in James's backyard, basically.
Yeah, it's nearer to me. I mean, they call it Tokyo Narita Airport, and they call it Tokyo Disneyland, and they call it Tokyo German Village, and all of those things are in Chiba.
So, I've been calling it Naruto Airport this whole time.
Naruto.
Yeah, so they have not announced like what the actual venue is there in Fukuoka, and they haven't announced the game lineup yet, and they're almost certainly going to do that in at Evo USA, which is August 7th ish. It's like that 3-day weekend.
Okay.
So Ty, I think we've talked about this before, but this was probably because they lost money. Did they lose money, or they broke even, or they lost money?
They lost $1 million.
Okay. So they probably just don't. So they're probably going to go to some poverty ass convention hall in Fukuoka that costs, you know, like what, $10 a day to rent out,
yeah,
as opposed to Akihabara, which is like, you know, $1 million, you know, an hour or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Right. And space is also a concern. Evo takes up a lot of fucking floor space.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's probably similar to how, you know, the feeling behind BitSummit, you know. Bit Summit wouldn't work in fucking Makari Messe, which costs, you know, billions to rent out.
Yeah.
But the little Kyoto Messe, much more affordable.
Yeah.
Assuming.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, James, I would think that even in Fukuoka, it's going to be even cheaper. So
that's
good. That might prohibit a lot of foreigners to come because of just access and stuff.
Could be a lot more Japan heavy, Japan player heavy now.
Yeah.
Well, it already was, but I mean,
yeah,
those 20 white guys are not going to make it now. There's only going to be, you know, three of those.
Yeah, and also I'm sure it's much cheaper to get to for players from like Korea, China, Taiwan, Philippines,
China.
There are other countries in East Asia, and they have some very strong players.
Asia.
Yeah.
So, are you going, Ty?
Yeah, I believe so. Almost certainly.
Okay. Cyrus, if you're going, let us know. Probably not.
Right.
Right. And I'm sure some of my friends from America will be hitting me up for like, oh, help, can you help me get a place? Can I stay with you?
Be a hell of a commute.
Yeah. Well, I'll sort it out, and I'll probably be able to figure out accommodations for a few people. We'll tune in February and see how that goes.
Thanks for taking care for me, Ty. Thanks so much, man.
It's an Airbnb with like 25 foreigners in it.
Wasn't there like a crackdown on Airbnb in Japan?
Oh, shit. Yeah, yes. It doesn't exist anymore, does it? Yeah. And you have to have a special license or permission from the government.
Right.
And be officially recognized as a 5-star hotel to be called an Airbnb.
Yeah, it's kind of horseshit. So it's
going
to be wild next year.
There was a beautiful week in Japan where Uber and Airbnb existed legally, and
were
swiftly taken down by the government.
Taxi companies and the hotel companies.
That's right.
They got rid of that shit.
Oh yeah, our buddy Keisuke, he was super excited to go to America and use Uber. when the KI World Cup, like, oh boy, I'm gonna call an Uber. I can't wait. It's so good. And I'm like, we're like 100 feet from the venue. It's like,
with eating a hamburger at the same time, hopefully,
right?
But it is kind of related to video games. I mean, that kind of mentality is why we can't rent games in Japan.
Yeah,
you know, Monopoly that exists. And then they just shut down any, you know, form of any threat to their business whatsoever. They just shut it down. You know, taxi companies, you know, will shut down Uber.
Oh yeah, and recently they've been cracking down on game bars again.
Yeah, there you go. That's what happened recently.
So, yeah, I don't think we mentioned that before, like this last month or two.
Yeah, we probably should have done that. I mean, that was a big deal because like people were, you know, threatened for going to prison because basically the way they see it is like, you know, they're playing games for free, you know. So, you know, why are you paying the bar manager money to play Nintendo games? They should be paying Nintendo.
Right.
Yeah. So, play all those like unreleased games that, this type of stuff really just makes
so
me
that,
angry.
So that must be the same time. Like if I invite Danny to my house, if he plays my Switch without playing a game that he hasn't bought, Danny should just be taken away by the feds immediately.
Well, there's other reasons why I should be taken away by the feds, but that's...
I mean, to be fair, I'd be the one calling, but you know, what I'm saying is that, you know what I mean? It makes no sense if you think about it for more than 3 seconds, but yeah. There you go. Japan. Hashtag Japan. And yeah, Airbnb was the same thing. It's like, wait a minute, there's an apartment near to a hotel and they're renting it out for like, you know, $20 a day. When, you know, the hotel rooms cost, you know, like multiple times that, you know, that shouldn't be allowed. Let's make it not allowed. There you go. Now it's not allowed. Please understand. So it's very frustrating listening to, I mean, most of the podcasts that I listen to, I mean, apart from A4, they're all based in, you know, the UK or the US, and all of the services that they talk about on it, it's like, what are they talking about? That sounds so weird and foreign. Like that would never happen in Japan. Things like, you know, Gamefly. It's like, oh yeah, I'm getting like all these free games to my house for like whatever, $7 a month. I'm getting like, you know, all these games that I want. And I just take them back at the end of the month and I don't have to pay anything, you know. It's just such a weird concept. That would never happen in Japan.
Yeah.
In a billion years.
Well, one thing that we have a comment actually from a listener. He's kind of, I'm pretty sure he's talking about maybe the Uber and the Airbnb stuff. I mean, maybe he said these guys, you know, they undercut regulations. Could be the case. I don't really know a lot about this stuff in detail, but I mean, yeah, the Japanese law and stuff like that is really complicated.
Well, and I think most of them are based on, because they start off in the US. So it's ways to get around US law. It's like, well, sure. Okay, we're not a hotel because, you know, we don't do this and this or whatever. We're just sharing a house, you know. It's like inviting a friend over to stay in your house, right? Mm-hmm. So they get around it that way. But then when they come to other countries might have much stricter laws on those kind of things or can, you know, fight those. They don't have those same loopholes.
Sure.
So when they come to Japan, they just get, you know, clamped down on. So, yep. And there you have it. But the game bar thing, I mean, Ty, your regular haunt game A bar. I mean, they kind of adapted over the years, didn't they?
Yeah, like I believe it was actually Danny that introduced me to the place first. But the policy, as far as I know, is it was always like BYOB.
Yeah.
Except BYOG, bring your own games.
Right, right.
Except Microsoft, because they're like 100% cool.
Yeah, because when I first went there, geez, over 10 years ago now, they had games there that you can play, and even when I went there, after I like moved back to the States and I moved back here, and I think even when I came back in like 2010, it was still cool. You were still able to play games that they had there. But yeah, whenever we had went, Ty, I think maybe that first that first time we went for like our Famicast drinking party,
the fuck's happening? Why is Ty turned into Master Chief hitting his
get a load of this scrub. Can't identify a very hungry Doom guy.
Oh, Doom guy. Oh, sorry. Yes.
Sorry, I just started thinking about Doom Eternal.
Okay. Well. Okay. Anyway.
Wow. Okay. Ty's a Doom guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just have to accept that.
I'm just imagining going to the game bar and them not having any games, and then me demanding games because I hunger for video
games. Bring me games.
Right? Exactly.
Gotcha. Let's seriously stop that.
All right, all right.
He's not pounding the table anyway. Oh, okay. All right, well, moving on with a little bit more news. This is 3DS. This is actually Zelda related. So Japanese Nintendo, he kind of tipped me off on this. I saw him posting about this on Twitter. But there are a lot of different Zelda goods
available. That really is his name now. I saw Japanese Nintendo posting on his site. Brilliant.
Sorry, yeah, Brian.
Japanese Nintendo.
Well, I think,
is his name. That is his name.
Okay. Mr.
Japanese Nintendo. We officially confirmed it last episode.
Right. First and last. Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah. So there are a handful of Zelda-related items that are available for pre-order on the My Nintendo Store Japan. A reminder, Japan has a special store for My Nintendo where you can buy physical goods, sometimes digital stuff too. But this time, this is one thing that's already been released in at least North America. I'm not sure about Europe, but
right.
Hylian Sword Edition 2DS LL or XL.
Hylian? Is it Hylian? Hylian?
I've always called it Hylian.
Hylian? Okay.
Yeah, and the Japanese word for it is just completely different than Hyrule.
Box? Like, I don't know about the Japanese box, but the American box is pretty cool, actually. It's just like a very simple one-color box with the shield on. It doesn't actually show the console itself.
Hmm.
And then the console itself has the shield on, like a embossed one, right? Like
the Japanese 3D. The Japanese box is like standing up, like whereas
exactly.
North American one, yeah, on the yeah.
Oh, maybe that was a Japanese one that I saw.
Yeah, because the North American one, it's okay. And the main difference between the North American version and the Japanese one is the game that it comes with. So the Japanese one comes with Ocarina of Time 3D, whereas the North American version comes with A Link Between Worlds. So
Kamigami no Triforce 2.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So another, really cool kind of high-end thing that they also put up, I was really shocked about, is this high-quality acrylic Zelda art board, which has a picture of Link in front of the, I forgot what it's called, like that motorcycle that you can get from the DLC pack.
The Master Cycle?
Yeah. And it's pretty heavy-duty, acrylic type of stuff. It's retailing for, I think they're asking for like 13,000 yen, like 120 bucks, 125 Jesus bucks.
Christ. Oh, you just reminded me, Danny, the other double whammy of me buying Mario Kart Deluxe was that they actually announced brand new DLC, free DLC, was the Link in his Breath of the Wild costume and also the bike.
Yep.
Which is part of the expansion, right? The DLC. Which I haven't bought, and I'm sure Danny's bought it, hasn't played it, but that's what you get when you complete it. Yep. I believe Cyrus has completed it.
Yeah, I think he said that he did.
And got the bike, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you can now ride on that.
Yeah.
But, which is cool. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, the last bit of stuff that they have on the My Nintendo Store, they have a set of folders that you can get. One of them featuring the artwork of that acrylic thing, and it's like four folders for like 1,000 yen, like 10 bucks. So I went ahead and just pre-ordered that because it's like, hey, those look cool.
So they're going Zelda crazy.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun. I would like that acrylic thing, but I was like, okay, I really don't have anywhere I'd want to put it. I'd put it in the living room, but I don't know if my wife would want that.
My wife.
Yes.
Hey, Sacha Baron Cohen's back.
Yeah.
He's back in Vogue. This is, what is it called? Who is America? Oh, this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's called Who is America.
I've heard a few different things about that show. Yeah.
Next.
Whatever. Yeah. Last little part of news we have here, Inazuma 11 from the Nintendo 3DS, which is a re-release of the original 2008.
Why are we talking about 3DS games? I'm very uncomfortable with all this 3DS talk.
I know. I was kind of uncomfortable.
No, but seriously, like, we have a Yo-Kai Watch 4 coming to Switch. We haven't talked about that ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the next, version of the Yo-Kai Watch. So probably, what the hell is going on?
It's happening.
People are rolling on the floor.
Boys. We're going to play some soccer. We're going to play some Sonic the Hedgehog. We're gonna spin dash and defeat Dr. Robotnik at soccer.
So yeah, Yoko Watch 4 is a Switch exclusive. So which makes me think Yoko Watch 3 might actually just skip the West completely.
Yeah.
They might just go straight to the fourth one for the release that in the West.
Right.
We'll see what they do with that anyway. And then, yeah, obviously Pokemon's coming to the Switch.
Right.
In November. Oh, that was another thing that was getting major poster coverage in the game shop today. Like the Eevee and Pikachu thing.
Sure, yeah.
Because there's a new movie, isn't there? There's a movie at the cinemas now.
Oh.
Which was, I think, was released like mid-July or beginning of July. And that features, like, you know, Pikachu and Eevee on the poster. So maybe this is like a plan all along. I mean, it probably was. You know what I mean? Like the whole Pikachu Eevee thing.
Yeah, I guarantee it probably was.
Yeah, and the merch is, you know, building up, you know. Pikachu's and Eevees are everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's going to sync up with Pokemon Go and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. With this Inazuma 11 thing, I found it kind of odd because the series has been kind of dormant for a couple of years now.
Is it coming to the Switch?
They haven't said anything yet, so maybe this is a precursor because they're making this version of the game for free on the 3DS in Japan for a limited time. It's just kind of weird. Haven't really heard anything from Level 5 about that stuff lately. Maybe around TGS we'll hear more about Switch-related stuff. I mean, they're doing, you know, Yo-Kai Watch, so yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Well, according to just a quick Google here, Inazuma 11 Balance of Ares is an upcoming role-playing video game developed by Level 5, planned for release on Android, iOS, Nintendo Switch, and PS4. In late 2018.
And there it is.
Worldwide the following year. So there's that. Balance of Aries. So yeah. I guess all of the big Japanese, you know, heavily merchandise based TV series / video game series. It's all coming to Switch. Yo-Kai Watch, Pokemon, and Inazuma 11.
Yeah.
Snack World, that's already out.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's another one.
There probably is. I mean, Level 5, I think, yeah, Snack World's Level 5 too, I think. And, I mean, hey, you got to give them a hand because they're always trying different things with all sorts of different types of, you know, series. They're not just resting on their laurels. They're always trying to create new stuff. Some of it hits, some of it just doesn't.
All new cross-media stuff that they're trying to.
Yeah, transmedia properties.
Transmedia, there you go.
Yeah. Okie doke. Well, unless you guys can think of any other bits of news that we might have missed, Ty, James, you think we're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're golden. I'm still stuck on soccer right now. I'm sorry.
It's right. I'd say just keep it going. That's totally cool.
Congratulations to France, I guess. We didn't say that.
Oh, yeah.
They won the World Cup.
Yeah, I was actually watching the World Cup. Live. That was fun. Well, until the game kind of got a little out of hand.
Right. Yeah. Too soon, Danny. Too soon.
Sorry. Well, okay. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on to. Oh God, we still have a little bit of news left. I forgot about this.
Breaking news.
Not breaking news, but sales data.
Breaking sales data news.
Yes.
Because Danny forgot to scroll down one page.
Yeah, I did. So, Ty, would you mind? And we haven't talked numbers like this for a while. Would you mind?
Yeah, it has been a while.
I'm just can't wait for the Xbox numbers to come out.
give it to me. Some healthy double digits.
I was putting them in. So, what do we got for the software, Ty? And this is like basically the most recent data we got from Famitsu Media Create, like all that type of stuff.
All right. Number 5, Minecraft. Wow.
Yeah. And all of these are our Switch versions.
Okay, yeah. So this is just the Switch list. Okay.
This is all formats or what?
Switch. Okay. The new released version of Minecraft on the Switch. Not the one that's Minecraft for Nintendo Switch. It's just labeled as Minecraft.
Oh, right. It's kind of like, what's it called? What do they call it now? Some kind of special thing, isn't it?
The one where you could basically play with people on Xbox.
The one that's on, yeah, that, and also it's on 4K and on Xbox now and all that kind of stuff, right?
Sure.
New, it's got new lighting and new textures and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
I forgot what they call it now, but something.
Something edition.
Yeah, yeah. Something edition.
Number four, Splatoon 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, still yeah. The actual number is, let me back up to Minecraft, 15,000 this week, 121, almost 122,000 lifetime.
Yeah. Kind of misleading because they had that other version, so whatever.
Oh, yeah. So this is only the newer one.
Yeah.
Right. Duh, Splatoon 2, 20,000 this week, 2.4 million lifetime. Mm-hmm. That's pretty hot for Japan.
Yeah.
That one platform, yeah.
Wow.
Mario Tennis Ace, 22,000 this week, 227,000 lifetime.
I wonder if that'll be at Evo. It's getting patched. The what was your friend who...
Dark, he has a Jeff few handles, Jeff.
Jeff the Hero?
Yeah, he was on our fighting game Patreon exclusive podcast, so right. Back up and check that out. Yeah, he's one of the internet's most notorious shit talkers. he he spent years like trying to reel it in. Like, that's how much he shit talks. And I think he got put on Kotaku for like picking Baby Bowser and just saying, all I do is pick Baby Bowser and hit A, you idiots, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, right. So, yeah, the game has just got patched, like, today, and they actually say, they mentioned Baby Bowser quite a lot in the patch notes, and they're actually going to do more patching of him as well. But he's got a little bit of nerfing, but they're going to nerf him even more later on, apparently. So, There you go. They've heard Jeff's complaints, and they're on it.
Nice.
All right. Where are we at? Oh yeah, new game this week. Kinopio Taito, Captain Toad, 40,000 for the opening week.
Mm-hmm.
What up? 42,000. And number one, Octopath Traveler, 110,000 in a week. Real talk.
Yep. And it should be noted too that this doesn't include any digital sales. This is always physical. So.
Oh, so these lists are quickly becoming worthless, aren't they?
Pretty much. I mean, basically, you almost have to wait until the game publishers themselves put out numbers. Otherwise, you don't know.
Well, this is Japan, so there's probably like, 2,000 extra sales for downloads.
yes.
A couple of extra ones, yeah.
Okay, hardware, Switch, 50,000 units, PS4, 12,000 units, PS4 Pro, 5,000 units.
It's getting new smaller.
2DS LL, 4,000, Vita, 4,000, 3DS LL, 2,500, 2DS, 448, Xbox One, 47, hold on to your butts, Xbox One X, 32.
Wow.
It's a good system, guys.
32,000 people bought the Xbox One X in Japan. It's amazing.
Yeah, 32,000 thousandths of people.
Yes. So, I'm going to put you on the spot. Name all 32 of them now. Go.
let's see. Let's see. We got Keisuke. We got. let me check my friends list real quick.
You've got Xbox One X, haven't you?
Yeah.
Oh, but you bought yours in America, though. Oh,
yeah, I did. Yeah. So.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't count.
Like I did. I literally did not know if like it would go on sale in Japan at all.
Yeah, yeah. I actually heard it wasn't going to, but then I guess they did.
Yeah, I guess you had to like ask, and they would order one for you.
They're like, all right, I guess we'll make one for you.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, for Amazon Prime Day, they had a really hot deal on Xbox One S's. It was like 20,000 for the Xbox One S and a copy of Minecraft. I was like, damn, that's really cheap.
And every game on the system.
Yes.
20,000, Jesus. Yeah. That's like talking like 3DS price here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this thing could do 4K.
Right.
Most powerful console.
Yeah. Well, the S isn't, but the X is. But
yes.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yes.
Cool. I'm very impressed how small the X is compared to the S.
Yeah, like if you just glance at it, it looks like a PS2.
Like it makes you think, what the fuck were they doing with the first version of Xbox One? Like, seriously, why would they have to be that big?
I have some guesses if you want to hear them.
Oh,
Sure.
you got 20 seconds.
Ventilation to prevent overheating. They run pretty hot.
I guess they were pretty scared about
Red
the
rings.
comeback of the three
Yeah,
red rings
they
didn't
again.
want a repeat of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
Right. Yep.
there you
That's
go.
a good prediction.
Final answer. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the news for real this time. So let's go ahead and move on to some feedback. And if you would like your question, comments, complaints, or whatever read out on the air, you can email us at thefamicast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at thefamicast. You can hit us up on Twitter at thefamicast. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can leave a comment down below. If you're watching us live, leave a comment in the chat and we'll try to get to your comments. So, James, what do we got lined up today? I
All
know
right.
it's been not been a long time since our last episode, so we might have a little bit less than usual, but
Well, I might have actually forgotten to read out some of the older ones. Maybe I did.
okay.
Well, we got one from Brian from last time. He says this is his first of probably on the Famicast, where he talks Nintendo, WarioWare, Kinopio-kun, R-Type, Taito, and that bastard X-Death. He's bleeped out bastard. Took me a while to read that. So yeah, it was great having you on, Brian. We welcome back anytime, of course. Cyrus is saying soon. Why is he saying soon? Oh right. Cyrus is in the middle of reviewing that Mega Man X game looking thing called 2000 XX. Looks very much like Mega Man X. He's in the middle of reviewing that now. And he says re his review will be soon. That was like 2 weeks ago, so don't hold your breath, everyone. He'll get there eventually. What the hell is this one? I don't think I've read this one out. Who's hyped for Warframe on Switch? This guy called Loki Jazz says, me. I will have to start over, but have not touched the PS4 version since last November. So many frames. I'll have to farm to build again. Learn to how to farm to build again. What? I guess that'll make sense once we start playing Warframe on Switch. Next one from Brian Rose. He says, I really want to be that boo enjoying the cold drink, but I'm probably toad ready to touch a poisonous fish. That makes no sense without context.
Yeah, so there is a
The
Line, the messaging and social media company here in Japan. They put out a,
Right.
well, Nintendo has an account and they put out a calendar every month, and I post it up on Twitter and Facebook. It's pretty always really cool. And this month is actually particularly nice. It's Toad swimming in like enemy infested water. It's like, dude, what are you doing? And then if you look up on the beach, there's a boo chilling like under like a roof, and he's like having a drink. And it's like, that's what we all want to be. But you know, like Brian, I know me myself, I'm the idiot toad just swimming down the water with all sorts of dangerous monsters.
All right, mate. Didn't we need a life story? Next, gone to some YouTube comments. We've got a new friend, Chariot Goblin. He likes commenting on the video version of the podcast, which, in case you didn't know, is on YouTube, and we go live on YouTube, and you can watch live on YouTube and comment live, which someone did earlier, right? So Chariot Goblin, he's hyped for WarioWare. Okay. And then he says, what? Wait, pancakes with lemons? Question mark. What?
On the last episode, we were talking. You were
Yeah.
saying something about the Splatfest,
We're trying to recall what the Splatfest was.
and you said something about pancakes with lemons. So, or maybe it sounded like you said that. So I
Yeah,
said
no.
that.
I did say that.
Oh,
Exactly
okay.
said that. So yeah, So pancakes, American pancakes are kind of fat, aren't they, and thick? And
yeah. You put
maple syrup and butter and cream and whatever else that makes your country have the highest heart disease in the world.
Drugs.
But in the UK, I guess we're more similar to the French style. So I guess our pancakes, you would call them crepes, I guess. They're quite thin.
Like my image of a crepe, I mean, that's like paper thin.
Man. Yeah. Like paper thin. That's our pancakes.
Seriously?
Yeah. Maybe, let me, slightly thicker than the crepe, maybe, but not much thicker anyway.
Huh.
And a classic topping for a thin crepe-like pancake in England is sugar, like just straight up brown sugar or sugar, and then lemon juice. And you just kind of roll it up and eat it together. You got the sour, the sweet together. It tastes really good.
Interesting.
So yeah, not recommended with the big fat thick American pancakes. Maybe it wouldn't taste that good, but like yeah, with the thin ones, it's good.
Mm.
So yeah, you weren't hallucinating, and it was real. Next one, I guess this is, what is this one? RBI baseball.
Something for me.
Is it? Oh, this is a stream that Danny did. No, direct feed gameplay that Danny did. Yeah. Iconic philosopher says, the player models look good, but the crowd look like some PS2 shit, man.
No, and they do. The crowd in that game just looks awful. And just to see degradation from the 2017 version to 2018 was just weird. They went from at least like kind of moving like up, like their arms up and down, to just not moving at all.
Just paper people.
Yeah, and it looks, I think from no matter what angle you look at them, they always look like they're looking at like the same angle. It's just weird.
Isn't it weird?
Isn't that weird?
All right. So, yeah, that's all the comments we've got for today. But, yeah, keep sending them in, Twitter, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Is Facebook still up?
It's still up. I still post stuff on there. If you ever like one of our posts, God bless you.
One of us will have to learn Russian or something.
Damn. But,
or you can just email us, thefamicast@gmail.com. I mean, people who like to write long messages seem to prefer the emails.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anywhere you send it, any language you send it to us in, we'll get to it.
One last little comment here from our good buddy Chris in the chat, kind of comment back to the calendar with the ghost. He said, I wish I was a drunk ghost. So, yeah, wouldn't be a bad way to spend the summer days, I guess.
Right. Pretty much what people do in Japan anyway.
Yeah.
They get drunk and pray to the ghosts. It's called Obon.
It's
called Obon Festival.
I think Chris is more Japanese than any of us. So there it is. Go.
We out.
Yeah. So that's actually going to do it for the show. A little bit shorter than usual, but yeah, we'll be back in early August with another episode. But before we go, we're going to, per usual, give out our Twitter handles. So if you want to follow us, you can. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBiv, DannyBiv. James, where can we find you at?
I'm CrunkGhost666 on Twitter. So yeah, hit me up.
Good. And Ty.
I'm CrunkGhost667.
Six
was taken.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm Super Cat Drugs, and I just tweeted videos of some of the funnier bugs I ran into on Friday the 13th.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have to check those out.
Did you play it on Friday the 13th?
I think I did, actually.
Heyo. Achievement unlocked?
Yeah. There's not an achievement for that, unfortunately.
What a wasted opportunity.
I know. The achievements in that game are so bad, but I said that already.
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, man, I have lost possibly half my body weight in sweat since the start of this show. I'm not kidding.
Same.
Am I the only one rocking an AC in their room right now?
Yeah, my AC is busted. I'm still waiting for service.
Oh, fuck. I
just don't have aircon in this room.
Yeah, I had a broken AC back when I was in college here.
For like when Danny sighed, like you could actually see his breath. That's how cold the room is that he's in.
Yeah, no, Ty, I've had a broken AC here before in June and July, and it was the worst. Yeah, rest in peace, my friend.
Yeah.
Not a recommended way to lose weight, by the way, people listening, is get heat stroke and die.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, please don't.
Drink fluids.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. Thank you guys for, you know, of course, joining me and
you're welcome.
Letting us. Yes, we can do this. And I'd like to thank everybody out there watching on YouTube right now. Thank you so much for joining us live. Thank you for joining us after the fact. Thank you for listening, if you're listening to the audio show. And we will catch you next time. See ya.
Patrons, we'll see you on Famicast Screen Time.
Yeah.
Peace.
Nice.